Man, today is the day which we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Today is the day in which we as the church are ramping up to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, before we get started, today's message we're going to talk about, what's the truth about Christmas? You got some people up in arms saying it's a pagan holiday. You got some people up in arms talking about the Christmas tree. You got some people talking about Santa Claus. You got some people talking about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You got some people talking about Saint Nick. You got some people talking about Kris Kringles. But very few people are talking about the real reason why we celebrating Christmas, and it's because of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, how are we going to do this? Now, let's start off. Let's debunk some of the stuff. Was Jesus actually born on December the 25th?
No.
He was not born on December the 25th. In fact, if you study the scriptures and you map out when John the Baptist was born, John the Baptist was born in February. All right. And so if you go 6 months from there, Jesus was born between the month of August and September. So Jesus was not born on December the 25th. Is Christmas a pagan holiday? No. And the reason why it's not a pagan holiday is because in order for it to be a pagan holiday means you have to be worshiping something. We're not worshiping the fact that Jesus was born. We're celebrating the fact that he was born. Now, some people say, well, why would you celebrate it on December the 25th? Well, if you go back and look at Roman culture back in that time, they didn't celebrate the person's birth. They didn't celebrate birthdays like we celebrate birthdays today. In fact, if even in our own country, in the nation of Canada, we celebrate Queen Victoria's birthday in May, even though she was actually born in April. Does it matter when you celebrate the person's birthday as long as you're celebrating the birthday, right? What do we celebrate? The fact that he was born. Mm-hmm. Now, even in the secular world, even in archaeology and all that good stuff, they can prove the fact that Jesus was actually born. And that's when we're celebrating Christmas, we're celebrating the fact that he was born. So if he was born on August the 25th, February the 25th, March the 25th, none of that matters, because the only thing that really matters is the fact that he was born. So how did they come up with celebrating Christmas in December, around December 25th? Well, if you go back and study in history, that they did have pagan worship. They worshiped unto the god whose name was Saturn. And they used to have a festival between the days of December the 17th to the 23rd. And they did all kinds of celebrations in worshiping this god Saturn. And also the Roman emperor also declared that there was a festival, because there's also what's known as the festival of Silas, or the winter Silas celebration. And they had actually used to cut down parts of trees to remind them that spring was going to come. They were worshiping the sun. So Pope Leo the First, who lived back in, this is all happening back in the 289 to 300 AD, during the time rule over Constantine, that what the Roman Church wanted to prevent from happening was Christians getting involved in the worship of these pagan gods and pagan festivals. So they established their own time of celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why you have Christmas, the celebration of Christmas in those dates around the same time as those other pagan holidays were going on. That's where people come into the confusion thinking that Christmas is a pagan holiday. It's not. They were worshiping a god. They're a false god. They were worshiping the sun. The Roman Catholics, or the Roman Church at that time, was celebrating the fact that Jesus was born. And they didn't want their other their Christians to get involved with false worship. That is why the celebration of Christmas is in the season that it's in. Do y'all see that? Now,
Saint Nick or Nicholas is somebody who he really did exist. Around that same time, he was a rich guy, lived in the area which is known today as Turkey. And what he did, he really did give out gifts. And he really did give out toys. But it wasn't just to kids. He gave it out to kids. He gave it out to widows. Why? Because he was demonstrating the love of Christ. Because if you read in the Bible, it talks a lot about ministering to the orphans and ministering to the widows. So he took the riches that he had and he ministered to the people. He did it so much and he became so famous that he later on became a bishop. Because he was a monk. So he became a bishop, and some, you know, of course, back in the Catholic days, you know, you do so many good works or whatever, they end up calling you a saint. Saint Nicholas. Do y'all see that? Saint Nicholas. So he's doing all these things, and later on, the Dutch ended up calling him Sinterklaas. Sinterklaas. And from that came Santa Claus. Do y'all see that? So what happened is you took real live events that from stuff that was happening, and people put their spin on it, and they try to make it something that it's not. Now let's talk about the Christmas tree. Christmas tree, in Jeremiah, it talks about not to, you know, about, you know, don't have these trees and don't have them dressed up with you know, you have them dressed up with silver and you have them dressed up with gold. And people say, see, that's why you shouldn't be putting up a Christmas tree, because now you worship it. No, you're not worshiping a tree. You're not bowing down to a tree like, oh, mighty tree, give me wisdom, give me knowledge, give me answers. Should I go marry Bobby today? No, you're not asking a tree. The tree is not an idol. In Jeremiah, he's talking about idols because at that time, people were building up trees. You know, going back to paganism, they was breaking up trees, and they was going out, cutting down trees, making them into statues of all kind of animals and little goddesses, and they was bowing down and actually giving sacrifices to those animals, to those idols. If I come to your house and you got fruit laying around in the bottom of your Christmas tree and everything, then I'm going to have to lay hands on you, cast the devil right out of you, because that's not what we do. But people took that verse and says, that's why you should never have a Christmas tree. A Christmas tree, like money, is not good or evil. It's a tree. Guess what? Do you know what's funny about those natural Christmas tree, Doug, that during the rest of the year, those same trees are growing all over the world. People put them in their houses, putting them in their backyards, the whole nine yards. Nobody's up in arms about, why do you have this, what is it, a balsam tree? Why do you have it in your backyard? Is that an idol to you? No, it's a tree. The tree is neither good nor evil. It's what you do with it. Do you know you can worship a car? Do you know you can make an idol out of a person? Santa Claus, they made Santa Claus an idol. More people are bowing down to Santa, trying to make sure that they good. You know, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout, because I'm telling you why, Santa Claus is coming to town. And if you ain't good, Santa Claus is not going to give you no toys. And if you awake, well, at least this was the story I was told. If you awake when Santa Claus gets there, he gonna put pep in your eyes, cause you. I mean, come on. The dude's gonna put pep in my eyes cause I'm awake. Man, I'm excited. I want to see you, big fella. But I can't ever see Santa Claus. And I'm gonna tell y'all this. And don't laugh at me. I'm gonna tell y'all how I found out Santa Claus. I think I showed this to y'all how I found out Santa Claus wasn't real Santa Claus. When I was growing up, I didn't live in the hood, but when I was growing up, where I lived, that was predominantly, you know, brown people looked like me. So guess what? When I went to the mall to see Santa Claus, Santa Claus was brown, just like me. So I seen brown Santa Claus. Sometimes he was lighter, sometimes he was darker, but at the end of the day, he was still brown. It wasn't until I seen Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on TV one day and seen white Santa. I said, oh no, no, that's not Santa Claus, because Santa Claus is black. That's how I found out Santa Claus wasn't real. I was hurt.
But now, if Santa Claus wasn't real, where are all my toys and stuff coming from? So this is not a bash against Santa Claus or anything like that. What it is if you're going to tell the story, tell where did the story come from? Santa Claus is a made up fictional character, but the person Santa Claus was a real person, and his name was Saint Nicholas, and he was a born again believer, and he went around doing good and ministering to the kids and ministering to the widows and ministering to the sailors, because he was doing what it is the Bible told him to do. He was demonstrating the love of God to people who didn't have other people to do it to. He took what he had to be able to minister to other people. So what he did was a good thing. But how many people know that you could take something that was meant for good and people put a little twist on it and it becomes something altogether different? It changes the whole meaning behind it. And that's exactly what the devil does with the Word of God. He will take the Word, put a twist on it, because remember, he can't create anything new. He has to counterfeit what already exists in order to taint it. So people, it's nothing wrong with giving gifts, but guess what? If you celebrated Christmas in July, it would be no different than if you celebrated it in December. If you celebrated Christmas in March, is no different than if you celebrate it in December. Why? Because you're celebrating the fact that he was born. Do y'all see that? And the reason why I'm sharing all this with you is because when you go have these conversations with people, and some people that you work with, and some people in your family members, they will try to argue that Jesus wasn't even born on December the 25th. You're right, he wasn't. And you debunk all the argument right there. He wasn't. It's a pagan holiday. Well, it's not really a pagan holiday because we're not worshiping him. We're not worshiping him on this day. We celebrate. It's kind of like when I come to your house for your birthday. I'm bringing you cake. I'm bringing you ice cream. I ain't bowing down like, oh, mighty Jerry. Oh, thank you for being born. That's crazy. No. We're celebrating with you. The Bible says to rejoice with those who rejoice. Do y'all see that? So why should the church be excited about the fact that Jesus was born? Because it was an indication that God kept his word. Mm-hmm. Turn me to Genesis chapter 3. Remember, we've been talking about this over the last couple of weeks, mm-hmm. how God had gave man authority, dominion, and rulership in the earth. But he also gave him one command. He told him, hey, man, I'm giving all this to you, but there's one thing you can't do, and you can't eat it as not this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the day which you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, he wasn't talking about physical death, because he didn't die. Adam did not physically pass from this world for another 930 years. But he did. When he died, he entered into spiritual separation. He separated himself from God. And we're going to say it right. God is never going to settle for that. He's not going to settle for that. So even after man, so God made a covenant with man. Mm-hmm. He gave man God created the heavens and the earth. God took the heavens, gave man the earth. He gave man authority, dominion over the earth. He also gave the man seed. He said, I'm going to give this to you. All I want you to do, I want you to cultivate it. I want you to protect it. I want you and your wife to multiply it, to do, have dominion over this earth. In fact, I'm giving it all to you. I'm putting you in the perfect house, in the perfect environment and everything for you to be successful, to carry out all that I'm asking you to do. But I only ask you not to do one thing. It doesn't say how long they were there before Satan, or we call him Slick Willie, shows up. And what was he after? What was the enemy after the whole time that Adam and Eve did not even realize? He was after the authority. He wanted to have dominion. He wanted to separate that man from God so he can get the authority that man had. The man did not even realize he had that much authority. Guess what? Many people in the body of Christ today don't realize you got that much authority. You walking around like you a pulp, like you like a prisoner or a slave, but when you are you're an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, if you are in Christ, and you just like your father owns it all, you own it all. So the man and his woman, his wife, they, of course, you know, for sake of time, we're not going to go into the whole story. Genesis 3:11, it says, and he said, let's go up to verse number 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant for the eyes, a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So they had broken the command, the one thing that God told them not to do. They had violated that law. Now, did God give up on them, though? When they missed it, God didn't give up on them. What did he do? He already had a plan. That's a word for somebody. Even when God, when you miss it, it wasn't a surprise to God. God already has a plan. He had a solution before you realized you had the problem. All right, keep going. He goes on to say, he says, and God said in verse 11, who told you was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree I commanded thee not, that thou should not eat of? So what happens as a result of their decision? God, he told them that you was gonna die. You was going to enter what? Into the death cycle. Into the kingdom of darkness. Now you have fallen into the kingdom of darkness, into the rule realm and rulership of the enemy, because the man had rightfully given it to him. Because he had authority. And he yielded that authority over to the enemy. He didn't take it from him. Do y'all see that? He didn't take it from him. The man gave it to him. Which tells you, Satan can't just come up in your life and run roughshod without you yielding to him and giving him authorization. He cannot do it. Do y'all see that? He can't just show up and do whatever he wants. You have to yield to him and you have to give it over to him. But God says, never going to be like that. Never going to get it, never going to get it, never going to get it. So God told him in the very beginning. He says to the woman, you know, verse number 14 says, and the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thy go, and thou shalt eat all dust all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Now, how many people know a woman don't have a seed? The seed comes from the man. This is when God is talking about Jesus. Her seed, and it, talk about her seed, shall bruise thy head, even though you're going to bruise his heel. Now, you're going to bite his heel. You're going to wound his heel, but he is going to literally crush your head. So, what did God say? Go with me to Isaiah chapter 7. Why? What is the truth about Jesus? And why, as believers, should we be celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ? Why? Because we talked about it when we had communion earlier. What did he say? God is a covenant. He says it's an everlasting covenant. Means it never ends. He told Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. He told Abraham, I'll bless you to be a blessing. Galatians chapter 3 says, if you are in Christ, in Jesus the anointed one and his anointed, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, what did Jesus say? What did Isaiah say about Jesus in Isaiah 7:14? He says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign or an indicator. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So what did he say? The same thing he said in Genesis, same thing he's telling them here in Isaiah, because the prophets are prophesying, calling it. He's coming. You know, talk about Paul Revere in the United States when he rode through and said, the British are coming. Man, you had something even greater than that. You had prophets who was, and you had many people was going along and said, Jesus is coming, the Lord is coming. Guess what? Go with me to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. He says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his what? Government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice. So he is coming to establish what? The kingdom. What's he doing? Remember, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, they had authority, they had dominion. They had rule, realm, and rulership. They were operating in what? The kingdom of God. When they yielded and bowed their knee to Satan, they gave up the rule, realm, and rulership that God had given to them. What was Jesus coming to do? To reestablish the rule, realm, and rulership that he was once Adam and Eve's in the garden. Do y'all see that? And the importance of that is so, if God kept that, see, I'm going to tell you about it. When I see a rainbow, I go hog wild. And the reason why is this. If he kept that covenant about the rainbow that sits before the throne of God that he made with Noah, that never again will I flood the earth with water. If he kept that covenant, and then he kept the covenant about the fact that he was going to send Jesus. How many other covenants is he going to keep? I know he's going to keep the covenant that what blesses he'll bless me, multiply him, multiply me, and in him shall and us shall all nations, families of the earth be blessed. Then I know he'll keep the covenant that the fact that John, go with me to John chapter 3. The Gospel of John chapter 3. That I know he'll keep this covenant as well. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on the Son should not perish, but have eternal life. So he kept the covenant about the rainbow. He kept the covenant about the birth of his son. So I know if he kept those covenants, God can't lie. The covenant about the fact that whosoever should believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life is still as much a covenant as the fact that I will not destroy the world by water again. Yes, sir. Verse 17 says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, sozo, healed, delivered, made whole, protected, complete. So when Jesus came as a sign that, as an indicator. One, if you believe on him, you have now been restored back into the rule, realm, and rulership that you had from the very beginning. And because of that, you have access to healing, deliverance, wholeness, protection, all those. So every gift that you could ever, ever need, if you've already received the greatest gift of all, it's already within you. Because guess what? The kingdom of God, the rule, the ram,
and rulership.
It's not in some far off land somewhere. You don't even have to go to Bethlehem.
Because Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in you. So when you operate in the authority that's been given to you by the fact that Jesus was born, he lived, went to the cross, and guess what Jesus taught? Better yet, what did his witness talk about before he got here? Repent. Why? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, the kingdom of heaven is already here. Why? Because Jesus was already born. Remember, Jesus was born 6 months after John the Baptist. So the kingdom of God, which was in him, was already here in the earth. What, yes, sir. What did Jesus preach for 3.5 years? Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, he says, when he would preach, he says, the kingdom of, you have been in the presence of the kingdom of heaven this day. In other words, you've been in the presence of God's healing, deliverance, protection, safety, wholeness. You're in, every time somebody comes in relation contact with you, they're in contact with the kingdom of heaven. Every time you speak forth the word of God out of your mouth, you are speaking as a representative of the kingdom of God. So when we talk about Jesus, we should celebrate Christmas every day. If y'all want to celebrate Christmas 3 times a year, 4 times a year, I'll give you my Christmas list. All the things I want. And any time of the year, you know, y'all want to celebrate Christmas, we can break it out. Because we celebrate his birthday every day. The truth about Christmas is Saint Nick really did exist. Kris Kringle, when y'all hear about Kris Kringle, remember the miracle on 34th Street? Mm-hmm. He was the Secret Santa who worked at Macy's. That's where we get the term Secret Santa from, where we put somebody's name in a hat and we draw their names out. Mm-hmm. All that's, I'm not saying that stuff didn't really happen, but the origin behind where Christmas came from was not secular. It wasn't paganistic. The word Christmas simply means mass for Christ or the Messiah. A gathering, a celebration for the Messiah. And we should celebrate that every day. Mm-hmm. Every day is Christmas. It's not December 25th. Well, don't you know Jesus wasn't born on December 25th? He said to share this with you. I was sitting there last night trying to figure out what it is that I was supposed to share. You're like, why don't you share what I've already told you to share? There's nothing wrong with you going home tonight and roasting chestnuts on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, all that. Nobody's tripping about that. But understand your reason for celebrating the season is the fact that God sent the Son that he promised in Genesis chapter 3 to come back into the world to be able to restore us back into our rightful positions. And whosoever, means it's open to anybody. Mm-hmm. It's open to everybody. You could be white, black, Chinese, Canadian, African. You can be American. You can be from India, you could be from anywhere in the world. Whosoever believes on the fact of what Jesus says. See, this is the thing. Jesus was born to reestablish so the kingdom of God could be reestablished in the earth. Then he went to the cross, and for as many people who has believed on him, guess what happened? They received access into the kingdom of God. The whole thing is getting people back into the kingdom of God. Going to the cross was to satisfy the payment. It was the payment to cover the sin. So the enemy wouldn't have an accusation against you. But the purpose of the cross was so that you would have access to get back into the kingdom. Enemy can't come back. He can't come back against you and say, no, you don't qualify because this person had such and such sin. You know what? I'm going to put my blood on that. And before I see you, I see the blood. Before I see that crazy thing you did, Jerry, God sees the blood. Before he sees, he hears the crazy thing. It's all filtered through the blood. And because you accepted the free gift which he offered unto you, the gift of Jesus Christ, now you're a citizen of the kingdom of God. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And now your responsibility is to go out and tell other people about the kingdom of God is here. And all the healing and all the deliverance and all the wholeness and all the completeness that you'll ever need has already been made available to you. All you have to do is receive it. Do y'all see the truth behind Christmas? And I have one homework assignment for you all. Find other people, even people in the body of Christ, who are arguing with other people about all this pagan and secular and all that. Share with them the truth. This is why it's around December 25th. Mm-hmm. But you know he really wasn't born then. Mm-hmm. This is where he got the word Santa Claus from. But there really was a guy named Saint Nick. The Christmas tree, unless you bow down to it, is not an idol. It's not for idol worship. So if you want to celebrate it December 25th, you don't want to celebrate it December 25th. You want to celebrate it right after Thanksgiving? You can do it too. You want to do it at the same time, Thanksgiving? You can do that too. I ain't mad at you. But don't allow people to draw you into arguments and debates about stuff that at the end of the day, it doesn't even matter. What really matters is the fact that he was born. Mm-hmm. What really matters is the reason why he was born. To establish the kingdom. And that kingdom is in you now. So, Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise, and thank you for the opportunity in your word. Thank you, Father, our preaching and teaching, that you were glorified in it, that we point up everyone back to you, and we give you glory, honor, and praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.